Welcome to our PBC podcast. Our vision is to be a family-friendly church offering hope to the community. We hope you enjoy this message.
But we're also going to be recognizing the Queen's faith and what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ, how that needs to be lived out. And we're going to use the Queen as an example of how to live out the Christian life. Let's take a moment to pray as we get ready to hear God's word in just a moment. God, we do ask for your blessing on the young people and the children out in their groups now. Bless their leaders as they share with them this morning. We thank you for Lily and for the way that she's served us as a church this last year. We pray a particular blessing on her. As she goes off, would you keep her and all the others that have gone to uni strong in their faith? Help them to find churches where they can get linked in, and Christian unions where they can grow in their faith and share faith with others. And God, we pray for Harry as he starts as well this next year or so, serving us in that same way, behind the scenes with all the technological stuff. Bless him as he serves, we pray. And Lord, for us now as we continue our series in Mark's Gospel, as we journey with Jesus to the cross, and as we celebrate the risen Lord Jesus Christ and all he is and has done for us and continues to do for us, bless us this morning, we pray. Speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to be turning to Mark's Gospel, to Mark 14 and from verse 66. What we're going to do, I want us to picture the scene this morning. We're going to read it together, but I want us to imagine that we're there. First question I'm going to ask as we get ready to read it, as you turn to it or scroll to it, is where was this taking place? Well, it's quite interesting if you have a look. Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their accounts, they have the first denial as taking place near a fire in the courtyard outside Annas's house. And the other two denials outside Caiaphas's home. And it's in John's Gospel, it kind of sets all of them in the same place outside Caiaphas's home. How's that? Is there some sort of discrepancy going on there? You know, well, actually, they live next door to each other. And there was a courtyard in between. And the fire was in the middle. So they were all right in what they said. But what we're going to see is that Peter moved around. Peter moved around once he kind of got found out a little bit. He starts moving around the courtyard as he denies Jesus those three times. So should we read together? And the words are on the screen, or you can follow in your own Bibles. Let's read together. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When he saw Jesus warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing round them, "This fellow is one of them." But again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you would disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. So continue to picture the scene. Jesus is upstairs being questioned by the high priest, the highest person in the land. Peter is downstairs being questioned by a servant girl, effectively the lowest person in the land. While Jesus remains strong, Peter falls to pieces. Peter, ironically, named by Jesus as the rock on which he's going to build his church, is crumbling. But Jesus, the ultimate rock, is standing firm. Why is Peter crumbling at this point? I think as you look at this, a lot of it is in the preparation. A lot of it is in the foundation that Peter is standing on at this point. Of course, Peter is a follower of Christ. But in his preparation, we see that maybe he's not as prepared as he should be. Friends, when we fail, when we fall, I wonder if a lot of the fault is in our preparation. I wonder if a lot of the fault is in the foundation that we are building on at that particular point. Yes, if we're followers of Christ, ultimately our faith is built on Christ. But sometimes we begin to crumble a little bit. Sometimes we, has anyone ever done this? You try to do things in your own strength. I wonder if Peter, a little bit of arrogance has slipped in. In the earlier verses, those moments before when he's been saying to Jesus, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm even if the others fall away, I'm always going to be there. Maybe there's that bit of bravado in Peter. Peter's the strong one. Peter's the one where others fail, I'm going to keep on going. Maybe at this point, he's trying to do things in his own strength. We've all been there. Pride comes before a fall. And we've called this message Jesus and failure, because Peter, in trying to do things in his own strength, he ends up falling flat on his face. He ends up failing. But let me cut right to the end of the sermon in case you fall asleep so you don't miss out on the best bit. You see, failure is not final. Peter might have denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus went to his death. Peter felt somehow responsible and guilty, and yet Jesus rose again. The nation at the moment is in mourning because our queen, for many of us, the only monarch we've ever known, has died. But friends, let me tell you this morning, our queen is more alive than she's ever been. She's with the Lord right now. You know, she is more alive than she has ever been, never to face death again. And she served faithfully right to the end. I mean, you couldn't have, I don't think she would have wanted it any other way. You know, serving the Lord right to the end. You know, shaking hands with her 15th prime minister. I mean, which monarch is ever going to do that again in our nation? I think the Lord will come back before anyone's got time to do that, to be honest with you. But she served faithfully right to the end. She closed her eyes in this life and woke up in the arms of Jesus. She ran to the tape, serving right to the end. Friends, that's the way I want to go. I don't want to retire. I want to keep serving Jesus right to the end. I'm not saying we're not going to retire from here one day, but I want to keep serving the Lord right to my final days, just like the example our Queen has given us. You know, the end of the story for Peter was not he denied Jesus those 3 times and he crumbled and fell apart. You see, failure isn't final, because with the help of Jesus, with the look of Jesus, with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, failure is not final. Failure is an event. It's not a person. Many of us feel because we failed, we can't ever serve the Lord again. We can't do anything again. But God has always got something else for us to do. Well, there's breath in our body. And even when there's not breath in our body, there's stuff he'll want us to do in heaven with him, continuing serving the Lord there as well. Failure is not final. For Peter, it wasn't long. It was only weeks later. He was preaching his first sermon. This guy that crumbled, this guy that failed, this guy that messed up, he preached his first sermon. 3,000 people got saved on that day. I praise God that when Peter was down on his knees in the dust, weeping before God, he didn't give up. But with God's help, he got up and carried on serving. Friends, if any of us are feeling like a failure this morning, if any of us are feeling down this morning, down in our spirit, down in our mind, down on our luck, down in whatever way, friends, what we're going to see at the end of this passage, what we read just now, was that Jesus looked. We see in the other Gospels, Jesus looked and caught Peter's eye. And just that look from Jesus was enough to give Peter hope. And friends, I want to say to us this morning, we're feeling down, understandably, right now. Many of us are feeling down because it reminds us how we've lost other loved ones. Many of us are feeling down because we failed God in some way. And as we read the story of Peter, we just feel, oh, I've messed up as well. But friends, just a look from Jesus. Look to Jesus. Just a look from Jesus can give us the strength to keep going this morning. I want to mention five things today. Ways in which Peter messed up. Ways in which we mess up. But I want to put a positive spin on it. See, these five things, the first of them is this. We need to make right preparations in our lives. Jesus prepared for the events of that first Easter on his knees in prayer. Peter prepared on his back in sleep, or maybe on his side in sleep. Peter prepared by snoring. Jesus prepared by praying. Jesus was ready for those events. Peter wasn't ready. You see, as the army often say, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Friends, every day when you wake up in the morning, do we rush into our day or do we get on our knees in prayer? I'm not saying you have to kneel down to pray. Some of us have got dodgy knees and we struggle to get up again. But I'm saying in humility, are we praying and asking God for his strength when we go to bed at night, when we wake up in the morning, or are we trying to do things on our own strength? Preparing, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Prayerlessness is powerlessness. Peter failed because he hadn't been praying. He failed because he was powerless because he'd been prayerless. What about us? What about us? Are we praying enough so we can know the empowering of the Holy Spirit day by day? We need to have right preparation so we don't fail. The second thing is this. We need to have right foundations. Right foundations. The Queen, right at the outset of her coronation, it was clear that when she made those promises, she meant those promises. When she was given that Bible and told it was the most precious thing in the world, I believe she read that Bible. Not that actual one necessarily, but she read the Bible on a regular basis. You saw how she conducted herself. I think I saw Jesus in her, in the way she conducted herself. I'm sure life was not always easy. When family problems came along, she continued to conduct herself with dignity and with faith and with the strength that the Lord gave her. Because her foundations, that says foundations, forgive me. I'm not perfect. My wife's there going, no, you're definitely not perfect. Okay, I can't even spell foundations. The Queen's foundations were on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our foundations need to be on Jesus. Peter, as he was humbled, you know, sometimes, you know, we can either humble ourselves or God will humble us. Peter had to be humbled by the Lord Jesus. And then he properly put his foundations onto Jesus. Paul writes this, I can do all things. Doesn't leave it there. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Our foundations need to be firmly on Christ. Peter went on to write this in 1 Peter 2:6, quoting Isaiah 28:16. He says, "For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.'" Peter was writing, saying, the one who trusts in Jesus, the one who has Jesus as their cornerstone, their foundation or foundation, will never be put to shame. Next week, one of the things I'm going to be quoting about is how the Queen says that her faith in Jesus was an anchor to her life. An anchor to her life. Jesus is our foundation. Friends, we need to be making right preparations in prayer. We need to be making right foundations based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, God's words to us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." He writes, "Therefore, I boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Friends, may we have right foundations in Jesus Christ. I think the third mistake Peter made was that he was in the wrong place. I was going to use place, but I used location because I was looking for anything with Sean on the end of it. I'm a bit OCD like that. He was in the wrong place. Jesus made it clear. We read in one of the other Gospels that in John's Gospel, that Judas came along and betrayed, was getting ready to betray Jesus, and that they said, you know, or Jesus said, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, and Jesus said, "I am he." Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," when he uttered that word, that name of God, "I am," how did they react? They fell on their knees, drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus said, "I told you, I am he. If you're looking for me, then let these men go." Jesus' plan was for the disciples not to go to the cross with him, much as some might have been willing or not when it came to it. But Jesus said, "Let these men go." The disciples were not supposed to be with Jesus at that point. Peter followed Jesus to where he went to, into the courtyard. I don't think that was Jesus' intention. That was not Jesus' instruction to him. Jesus knew it would happen. Jesus predicted it, because Jesus is able to do that, look into the future and know even our failures and our failings. But was that really what Peter was supposed to be doing? No. Jesus said, "If you're looking for me, let these men go." But Peter decided to go to a place he wasn't supposed to be. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been somewhere and you thought, "I'm not sure God wants me to be here right now"? Have you ever been doing something or saying something or thinking something and thought, "I'm not really sure Jesus wants me to be thinking this or looking at this or buying this or eating this or doing this right now"? Friends, when we get in a wrong location, we're in serious danger. Because as followers of Jesus, when we're walking with him, there's a sense wherever we go, he's with us. Of course, he's still with us, even when we mess up. But that umbrella of protection over his people, that umbrella of protection that's over us when we step out from where we're supposed to be, we step out from under his protection. When we go our own way, if Jesus wants me here, but if I'm over here, I step out from under his protection. No wonder I'm going to fail at times when I step out from where he wants me to be. Friends, we need to be in the right location. Peter was in the wrong location. How did he even get in anyway? Have you ever thought that? How? Jesus has been taken there by all these soldiers. Peter's just lopped the ear off, you know, the high priest, you know, Malchus, you know, he's just lopped the ear off him. How does Peter get in there? What is he thinking? Even trying to be there. He's being impetuous Peter. That's what he's being. He's where he shouldn't be. How do they get in? Well, John tells us in John 18, 13 to 16, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus because this disciple was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. That's how Peter got in. Who was that other disciple? Anyone want to shout out? Who do you think that other disciple was? John. A lot of scholars say, I think that was John. John doesn't mention who it is because that's John. He kind of doesn't want to blow his own trumpet. How did John know the high priest? Maybe they were related in some way. Maybe they played football together. Probably not. Maybe he used to sell him fish. That's my guess. I've no idea really, but somehow we believe it was John knew the high priest and was you know the face fitted, and he was able to get in there and he was able to get Peter in as well. But here's now my thoughts are going wild here. My guess is that John, I think it is John. John says to Peter, just mate, low profile. Keep your mouth shut. Peter, I know what you're like. Just keep it down. You know, Pete's revving to go, but Pete, just stay in the shadows. Don't even go near that. If you go near that fire, they're going to see your face. You just lopped off somebody's ear, mate. Just stay at the back. We're in, you know, we're ready. Look, but just low profile. I remember my brother, when Bournemouth were going up, that year, that fateful year, some of you Saints fans are going, that fateful year, but that year of celebration, we managed to get to a lot of the away games, but we were always in the wrong end. So at Reading, we were in the Reading. One of my brother's friends from a church there had a box and got us in the box. My brother briefed me, vehemently said, Adam, look, we are in a Reading box. It's been given to me by someone from a church where he said, I speak regularly. We said, Adam, whatever you do, don't mess it up. Don't start cheering for Bournemouth and get me in trouble. You know, just low profile, keep it down, just merge into the background, just don't say anything. Just, Adam, I know what you're like, you know. And within 2 minutes of the start of the game, my brother was leaning over the balcony going, go on, Bob, go on! You know, and I was like, and Reading fans were turning around and started giving him, you know, those looks that you get at football. You know, and it was like, mate, why were you telling me when you were the impetuous one that couldn't keep it quiet? You would not take Peter to a football match and stand in the wrong end, would you? What was John thinking taking Peter into that courtyard? I'm sure he briefed him, said, just keep it down. Peter could, my imagination goes, well, my imagination says, Pete's like, he's at the back going, I'm getting cold. I'm going to the fire. Don't go near the fire, they'll see you. I'm getting cold. You coming? Peter goes up to the fire. That's his first mistake. In the fireplace, he might get warm. He's looking for his comfort, but he's losing his mind because in the fire, as well as warmth, what else do you get? You get light. And somebody sees his face. Somebody recognizes him. Peter is in the wrong location. But the other thing I wonder is that when that first person recognizes him, doesn't he just think, yeah, I'm in the wrong place. Maybe we should go. And then there's the second warning. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, you know, let these men go. We shouldn't even be here. Maybe John at that point, I don't know, maybe John's saying, hey, mate, we need to get out of here. But even on the second warning, Peter is adamant and he's staying there. He's in the wrong location. Friends, when you start going down a wrong track, do you ever get a prompting from God? Like, you shouldn't be doing this. Do you ever get a prompting from God? You know, you shouldn't be buying this, eating this, looking at this, expressing yourself like this. You shouldn't be letting this anger rise in you. You shouldn't. Do you ever get a prompting, a whisper from the Holy Spirit? No. This is not right. Do you get anyone? Yeah. What do you do with that first whisper? Peter got it. He ignored it. Do you ever get a second whisper? God in his grace even gives us a second whisper. Maybe we're going to do something we shouldn't do and the phone rings and that could have got us out of it. Or we feel the anger rising within us and we're gonna send an email back that's rude to somebody and we shouldn't do it. And we get a knock at the door and God's orchestrated it so that we could get out of what we're about to do. But we ignore even those first and second warnings, and sometimes we just belligerently carry on. We don't move out of that place we shouldn't be. Peter, in God's grace, was given those warnings, but he didn't take them. And friends, sometimes, sadly, we're the same. Friends, I'm the same. Sometimes I don't take those warnings. Sometimes I do. And after today, I'm going to be listening out for those warnings and stepping away and stepping back and checking my heart and trying to be right with God. Because what happens when Peter, the third time, and then he steps it up and he says what he says? How does Peter feel at that point? Absolutely gutted. Absolutely devastated. Friends, when we mess up, how do we feel? Do we ever think, why did I do that? I'd be far better off not having acted in that way. Friends, don't have to live with the regrets. If we step back when those warning signs happen, or make sure we don't even go into those places and situations where we are more likely to sin. Right preparation in prayer. Right foundation on Christ. Right location. We don't want to fall off a cliff. Don't go near the edge of it. Fourthly, we need to have a right expression. In Luke 22:59, we see a bit more detail given there. It says, about an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Matthew 26:73, it says, a little while, those standing went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. He's a northerner, and his accent gives him away. He's not able to keep his mouth shut. The night before, he couldn't keep his eyes open for an hour. Now, he can't keep his mouth shut for an hour. Do you ever say things that you think later on, oh, I wish I just kept my mouth shut? That was Peter. If he hadn't opened his mouth, they wouldn't have known his accent. If he hadn't have wanted the creature comforts of being near the fire, they wouldn't have spotted him. Peter's sin was trying to comfort himself by near the pot, but being near the fire, a brashness thinking, oh, I can handle myself. A disobedient to Jesus. And now speaking when he should have been silent. But more than just speaking, what he actually says in effect is, may God strike me down if I'm lying. What he says is a lot stronger than many of us realize, just reading it in the English. He's calling a curse on himself if what he's saying is a lie, that he doesn't know this Jesus. And he does know this Jesus. Friends, we need to have right expressions. The way we speak. There were many times where crazy stuff happened to the Queen and she was able to say the right thing. A lot of it starting to come out now, which is beautiful, isn't it? How many of you saw in the Houses of Parliament, people giving little testimonies, little snippets about their meetings with the Queen. They didn't share those things before, but they feel able to share them now. And the Queen was able to share a smile with them where appropriate. She was able to say the right thing to put them at ease when they felt very nervous and embarrassed. Friends, are we able to do that with God's help? Are we able to use the right expressions? I'm not just talking about the words that we say. Are we able to give that smile, that comfort to people who are struggling at the moment, maybe at work or in the community? Are we able to be that listening ear to express God's love in the right way? Peter's expressions were all wrong. He calls down a curse on himself. Sin leads to curse. Whenever we sin, effectively, we curse ourselves. Whenever we sin and step outside of God's good, pleasing, and perfect plan for us, that's basically what we're doing. We're rejecting God and saying, I want to go my own way. We're bringing a curse on us. There are consequences for our sin. Earlier on, Peter had lashed out at that guy. There was consequences for that. Because he'd cut the guy's ear off, Jesus healed the guy. But somebody still recognized him because he was the one that lashed out. Peter was forgiven of that sin, but there were still consequences from that sin. It's the same with us when we sin. Jesus can forgive us, but there are still consequences for our sins. And we have to live with those. But Peter went on to write, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. In 1 Peter 2:24. You see, sin leads to a curse, but Jesus, the sinless one, took our sin, took our curse, was cursed on the cross by Almighty God. He carried our sin, he carried our curse so that it can be undone as we trust in Christ and we can be forgiven and made clean. I was talking with a friend yesterday about this, not yet a Christian, saying that Jesus wants to wash us clean. The only one that can do it. He's the only one that lived a perfect life. The Queen was great, but she wasn't perfect. She'd have been the first to admit that. I'm sure some revelations have come out to show that she wasn't perfect, sadly, even now. Our faith is not in our Queen or our King. Our faith is in the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is sinless, the one who died on a cross with our sin on him to defeat sin, to reverse the curse, as it were, so that we can be forgiven. Friends, Peter is being tempted and tested down below in the courtyard. Jesus is sat up there being judged by the high priest. Friends, even now, we are down below in the courtyard of earth being tempted and tested. But Jesus is not being questioned by the high priest. Jesus is the high priest in that high place, not in the place where he was judged, but in the place where he will judge everybody, sat at the right hand of the Father. Just as when Jesus came out of that place, he looked at Peter, and that look, I believe, communicated love and forgiveness. Peter wept. As we look to Jesus seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father, he is our high priest interceding for us. As we give him our questions and we give him our concerns, as we ask for his strength, he will strengthen us. He will strengthen us if we ask him. You know, we need to have right preparation in prayer. We need to have right foundations on Jesus. We need to have a right location guided by the Holy Spirit. We need to have a right expression through his word. It's interesting. Verse 72, immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus had spoken to him. Friends, I've never really seen it before. Peter remembered the word of Jesus when it was too late. If he had remembered the word before, he could have avoided that sin and that failure. Friends, we need to have the word of Jesus so written on our hearts and our minds that we won't forget his word. We won't later remember his word like Peter did. But we will remember his word at our point of need when we're tempted and tested so that we can stand firm. Final thing I want to say this morning. And I started with this really, that we need to have a right confession. Next week, the guy's getting baptized. Effectively, they're confessing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior. I heard about a guy who came into this country from Africa, and they said to him, is there anything to declare? And he said, I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And you need to follow him as well. You know, we need to have right confessions, confessions of making Jesus our foundation of our life. Confession that he is our Lord and Savior. Confessing our sins and receiving his forgiveness. Luke 22, verse 61, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. We need to look up to Jesus. Allow him to look at us, even in our sinful state, and say, Jesus, please would you heal me. Please would you forgive me. Please would you restore me. Please would you strengthen me this week so I can stand firm against the temptations and the tests that I will face. Many have been saying of our Queen, rest in peace. Many have also added, rise in glory. That's what happened to Peter. He rested in peace knowing that his sin was forgiven. And when Jesus came to him those days later and forgave him and he rose in glory. He stood to his feet, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and preached, and people got saved. So I want to finish as the group come up to lead us in our final song this morning. Let's take a bit of time just to pray. Just personally, privately, to pray. If there's sin that we need to confess to God and get right with God, let's do that. If there's ways in which we know that we often fail, let's ask for God's strengthening. Let's resolve to lay the right preparations in prayer every day. Let's resolve to put our life founded on Christ, built on Christ, not on our pride, not on anything else, but building our lives on Christ. Let's resolve to be in the right places, not in the wrong places. Let's resolve to express ourselves in a godly way. Let's resolve to confess our sin and to confess Jesus as Lord. Should we pray? Almighty God, as we have reflected on the way Peter failed, that we recognize ourselves in that courtyard as well. God, we pray that you would forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. As the scripture says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, we're faithful and just, and you forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And God, we receive your forgiveness right now. Many of us, we want to declare again, we put our trust in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who rose again, the one who died with our sins on his shoulders so that we can be forgiven as we confess him as our Lord. Many of us want to say afresh, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And God, would you help us as we go into this next week to express love to those who are mourning, to express words of comfort, to give a listening ear, and to express the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And to say, the God of peace will be with you. So God, as we go into this week, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, you are with us. Take us where you want us to go. Use us in your service, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We mentioned last week, prayer is available either outside or inside the prayer space. So do ask for prayer if you'd like prayer this morning. And tonight is Second Sunday. So it's a youth-led evening service. And who's going to be preaching, Harry? Harry's going to be preaching. Is it your first sermon?
Yeah.
Even if you don't normally come to the evening service, you need to come tonight. Okay, so think about coming tonight if you'd like.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out. If you want to find out more, visit pownerchapel.org.uk or follow us on Facebook at Pownor Baptist Chapel.